Remember the fairy tale? A lady, hoping for a positive response, says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" She wanted to hear what we want to hear, that we are really okay, if not beautiful people. So we look for mirrors on our walls to show us what we want to see. The result? Self-delusion. And one answer as to why good people do bad things. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things, and we find out by beginning with our self-perception. Join us as Dr. Lutzer finds us all lost in a house of mirrors, confused as to who we really are.
Somebody once said to me, speaking about themselves, they said, "I don't have any blind spots." Have you ever thought of how funny that is? If you had a blind spot, you'd be the last person to know about it. That's what a blind spot is. That's the whole point, my friend. If your wife tells me I live with a man who doesn't have any blind spots, now I have some reason to think that maybe he doesn't. But if he tells me, are you kidding me? You're telling me you don't have any blind spots? I remember a man whose life could be best characterized by being one big blind spot. And yet he argued ferociously for his position and who he was. And no matter what was said to him, there was no intake. In fact, I can tell you, his reality check bounced. Now the question is, where do we turn? To what mirror do we look? Not merely to see our bodies, but rather to x-ray our souls. That's what we need. Our parents did a job that may have been good, it may have been bad, but it could not possibly be thorough. Our teachers and our friends and even our wives and other members within the family, they might reflect back to us who we really are, but you're thinking of Judas there at the Last Supper. Nobody really knew who he was and who they were sitting beside. To where do we go to finally find out who we really are? Well, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James is going to help us here. And I'm going to begin at verse 22 of chapter 1 in the book of James. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." James says that the Word of God is the mirror, and it is to the Word of God that we come to find out who we are. Now, in those days, the mirror was actually, what shall we say, made of tin and bronze, and they were not very accurate. The mirrors were not like they are today. And people saw themselves, but James is going to call the Bible the perfect law. It is the unbent mirror that finally helps us have a sense of identity. Now, in primitive cultures, they do not have mirrors. I've heard of missionaries who gave mirrors to people and they were astounded. Imagine living your entire life and not knowing what you looked like except perhaps what people might tell you about yourself. In fact, I heard of one woman who took the mirror and looked like this and thought that she was seeing someone behind her and said, translated into English, the missionary said, the equivalent was, "Who is this hag that is living in this village?" She'd never seen herself before. When we come to the Word of God now, we finally have a reflection as to who we really are. And James talks about those who have two different responses. The first is what I call the passive listener. He's the one who forgets. And James says that it is like a man. You'll notice the text. He is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, friends, I need to just give you a little word from my heart to yours. James here is an accurate student of human nature. He uses a word in Greek that definitely means man as opposed to woman. It's just not mankind. It is man. It is male. Because may I say that if there's anything that's true about women, it is not that they have a tendency to look into a mirror and immediately go their way and forget what manner of women they are. That's a man thing. That's one reason why James uses a man. There's another reason also, is that men find it very difficult to admit who they are, much more difficult than women do. I want you to know that when a man says he's working through his pain, he may only be finding another way to really hide it. Because we as men are not very good at vulnerability and openness. And so James says we are like the person, if we simply hear the word, that goes in and then we turn away from it. Another comment. When James says that the person who hears the word of God, and he says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. You'll notice how often he uses the word listen. Verse 23, anyone who listens. And if it's all that he does, the word that is used was frequently used for an auditor. Do you know who an auditor is? I know that we have tax auditors, but there are also auditors in our classrooms. I have to tell you that one day I took a class from someone and I was an auditor and he did not like auditors. And I wondered why. Later on when I began to teach, I have to tell you, I disliked auditors. Oh, they really bothered me. Because auditors would say, we want to come and listen to your lectures. Do you want to do the reading? No. Do you want to write the paper? No. Do you want to take the exam? No. We're just here in case it's interesting. And if you're not interesting, Starbucks is just around the corner. That's an auditor. A person who wants to get in on the goodies, but he doesn't want to do the assignments. He wants to hear the word of God, but he does not want to obey it. Two characteristics of this kind of a passive listener. Number one, he forgets what he hears. He goes to church, he sings songs, he hears marvelous testimonies, and what does he do? He'll turn on the television set and begin to change everything that has been coming into him, and pretty soon he's forgotten it all. He can't remember it. Or he might be like some teenagers. When I was the pastor of another church here in the city, this is the second church that I have pastored, some teenagers came to me one time. I remember they used to sit in the balcony every Sunday. Fortunately, they'd sit as near as they could to the front there in the balcony, but I used to see them. And one day they said, you know what we do after you're finished preaching? And I said, I have no idea, but I'd sure like to know. They said, we get into the car and we turn on the music as loud as we can to deaden everything that you've told us. Now notice this, James says that there are people like that. They will not accept the word of God. They forget it, but also they are deceived. You'll notice he says that do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself there in verse 22. That word deceive is from two Greek words, para and logizomai. Para means alongside of, logizomai means to reason. So they reason alongside of themselves. We might translate it, they're beside themselves. Because here's where they have all of those rationalizations, all of those protective coverings, all of these reasons why listening is sufficient. After all, they say, wasn't I in church this morning? Don't I support the ministry? And that gives them, you see, an excuse to not deal with the deeper issues of life. I have a question for you today. James is talking about those who listen to the word of God and don't profit, but I need to say that there are also those who study the word of God and do not profit from it. Why? Because they don't come to the word of God with the intention of self-exposure. They do not come by saying, I wonder what God is going to say to me today so that I can respond to it. That's not the mindset. They are there to listen maybe, to pick up a few interesting points and even to study it and to dissect it, but not that it might change them. Here's a warning to you scholars. There are students who take the Word of God and dissect it like a frog, but leave it on the table with no intention of having their dissection really affect their lives. So that's passive listeners. Let's go on to the active listener, the obedient one, the doer, as the text says. You'll notice, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, this is verse 25, that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is the active listener. He gazes into the perfect law. He looks at this mirror and says to himself, whatever it says and whatever it tells me, that I shall do. And by the way, it is the law that brings freedom. Isn't that a contradiction? The law that brings freedom? I thought freedom was to be free from the law. I thought that was the whole point. People today say, I don't want to be under the law. I just want to be free. I just want to do whatever I want. No, my friend, today it is the law that brings the freedom. And so please keep that in mind. It is freedom by looking into God's mirror. How do we characterize a man like this? Well, there are three different ways that we can. First of all, he is clean. I'm picking this up actually in verse 21 where he's telling us how to listen to the Word of God. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the Word planted in you which can save you. Get rid of all of that moral filth. He could say, sell your television set. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word for filth was often used for wax in the ear. And I think James here has got this play on words going because he's talking about being a listener and just hearing the words and then really listening. You remember Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody was hearing the words, but there were many people who were not responding. It was like water on a marble slab. It did not penetrate them. So what he's saying is, get rid of the wax in your ear. Listen. Listen up, as the saying goes. The older I get, the more I begin to realize that the Word of God is so critical in our lives. Of course, I've been preaching this for many, many years. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I am telling you from my heart to yours the importance of the Word of God in changing us. It is a mirror, as I've been explaining in this message, but it is also God's means to cleanse our hearts. One day I asked the Lord the simple question, why am I struggling with thoughts that are unholy? And it became so clear to me, the verse from the 15th chapter of John, where Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you. So today I urge you, my friend, go to the Word of God, read it, memorize it, and may God grant us the ears to actually hear it, to listen, and to be transformed by its power.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Lost in a House of Mirrors. Tomorrow, more insights on why the Bible is the mirror that shows us who we really are. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.